you just should not sit there being a sitting duck. I mean, if in this day and age, you cannot be surprised if you get laid off. There's just no such thing. And that's what I mean by you should take your professional development in your hands and do what you have to do, because the organization is going to do what they have to do.
Always. Absolutely. Always. Always.
We'll discuss race and how it plays a factor, and how we didn't even talk about this topic because we were afraid.
A Black Executive Perspective.
Welcome to a Black Executive Perspective podcast, a safe space where we discuss all matters related to race, especially race in corporate America. I'm your host, Tony Tidbit.
And I'm your co-host, Chris P. Reed. We always want to start off by giving a shout out to our partners at Codem Magazine. Codem Magazine, where their mission is saving the Black family by first saving the Black man. That is CodemMagazine2Ms.com. Codem Magazine, make sure you check them out.
Yeah, definitely check out our partners, right? But today we want you to check this out, because we're going to dive into the world of project management professional certification with our guest, Tamara McLemore. Tamara will discuss her path to PMP certification, its career boosting benefits, and the industries that value it the most. She will also share essential tips on achieving this sought-after certification and navigating its requirements effectively.
Before we get into the episode, let me give you just a little bit of background on Ms. McLemore, okay? So Tamara McLemore, PMP, is the founder of Tamara McLemore Enterprises, a certification PMP instructor and acclaimed speaker. She specializes in coaching mid-career professional women, equipping them with skills to achieve PMP certification to advance their careers. Her innovative and intensive two-week PMP exam drastically reduces the preparation time from months to merely 30 days. This accounts for the busy schedules of the working woman and empowers them to excel in their chosen fields. With over 25 years of experience in federal government, aviation, and technology fields, Tamara has evolved from a project manager to the chief impact officer of her own company. She is recognized on LinkedIn as a top voice in project management and frequently has keynote speaking engagements at major conferences. You can also find Tamara teaching project management technology or techniques internationally. Beyond her career, Tamara is an avid traveler and lives by the motto, to be a service to all mankind. Tamara McLemore, PMP, welcome to a Black Executive Perspective podcast.
Thank you for having me. I have one correction to that.
Give it to me.
I do let a couple or a few good men in my boot camp. So
That's good to know. That's good. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I could not discriminate against men, especially Black men. So I have opened it up to men. There you go.
That's what's up. That's what's up. Good business. Okay, cool. Well, let me ask you. So currently, where are you? I know you, you know, a globetrotter, but where are you currently? Where are you with your family, and how are things going?
So today, as we're recording, I am in Atlanta. I've been a resident of Atlanta for about 20 years, but you're right. Whenever I log on, you never know where I'm going to be, but I'm in Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay. That's what's up.
And tell us a little bit. Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say, tell us a little bit about your family, Tamara.
Yeah.
So I have a husband. We've been together about 15 years. I have a ton of nieces and nephews. They're extensive. and I have no pets. That's a lot of responsibility. So I just, you know, manage the nieces and the nephews.
That's awesome. That's good. Well, look, at the end of the day, having a good family is very important, especially that's supportive and a lot of love. So it's great to hear about them. So a question I have for you, why did you want to come on BEP? I know now men can definitely be a part of your crew, but why did you want to come on BEP to discuss this topic?
Because I believe that everybody is a project manager, healthcare, education, I can go on and on with the industries, but right now, almost every industry, every field is requiring some type of project management. Everybody doesn't need to get certified, but everybody needs some tools and techniques to manage their project, their budget, their tasks, their schedule, and so forth. So I need to spread it a little wider than it has been spread, the traditional way. So I'm excited to be here.
Well, we're excited that you're here, and we're looking forward to learning more. So it seems like you're chomping at the bit. Are you ready to talk about it, Tamara?
I am ready.
All right. So let's talk about it.
So let me start with the concept of the PMP certification and its significance. As you stated, you believe that everyone is a project manager. And I was telling you, you know, they're not all created equal. So In the corporations that I've worked for, the Fortune 5, some of the Fortune 500s, they have it, they call them initiatives, they call them projects, they call them all kind of stuff. And I've done some of that work to develop charters and things of that nature. But why is the certification dynamic or understanding how to do a Gantt or work in Microsoft Project or some of these tools and techniques, why is that more important if you're going to be successful as a PM?
So that you can manage projects effectively and efficiently. So I tell people, you know, that we got our 9 to 5, but we want to cut that 5 to 9 out, meaning you come back home and you log on that laptop, like it is time out for that. So using understanding the project management tools lets you do that. And I know that firsthand is when you understand not just the Gantt charts and Microsoft Project, and by the way, can't stand Microsoft. Let me just say it. I'm not savvy in it like I used to be.
Okay.
But there's so many other tools. Yeah. I love the communication part, the quality. My favorite is Risk. So project management is like that toolbox in the closet. You know, we use the wrench, the hammer, the screwdriver, but we have that drill with all those bits. And every once in a while, we take it out to put together, you know, a new appliance that we have. And that's what project management is. It's using the different tools. You're not going to use every tool, every project, but you have it available. So that's why I love project management.
Wow. That's awesome. So now you've been doing this for how long now, Tamara?
Ooh, so you want me to date myself? So
no, you don't have to give us your age, but just your experience, right?
Right before Y2K. So late 90s is when I started project management. And back then it was for tech. It was for the federal government, you know, industries like that. But now I have people that are event planners. I have people, healthcare, and I mean doctors, pharmacists, nurses. I have people in education, teachers that are pivoting, principals, superintendents. So project management is for everybody. So I've been in it for a long time and I've seen the evolution of project management.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to ask you, because it seems like over 24 years you've been involved. You just got finished talking about how now a lot of different other industries are utilizing project management. So talk a little bit about how the perception of the certification has changed in professional circles, because Chris kicked this thing. I mean, at least prior to us coming on, you know, Chris and you were talking about, you know, the difference between a certification and activity, right? So talk a little bit about how the certification has, the perception of that has changed in the professional ranks.
That's a great question. So when I got certified, it was hard. I'm not going to lie. It was hard because I failed not once, but twice. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, it took me 2 years. The federal government sent me back and forth to DC. I got a master's certificate from George Washington University. My husband had to give me a tutor. The story is long to give me that, like literally. And out of 25 people in my cohort that work with me to this day, I'm the only one that has it. So I will say back then in the old days, it was hard. Mm-hmm. But fast forward, of course, things have changed. PMI has done some amazing mm-hmm. work. Now the questions make sense. Now you don't have to memorize. You actually know the curriculum and actually input. How can I say this? When you're taking the exam, you're actually answering real life questions that you would do day to day. So all the myths and misinformation in these internet streets, it's just old and bad information. The test is not that hard. And let me say this, gentlemen, we have degrees. We have all these degrees and we do hard stuff. We moved away from home. We purchased first, second, third homes. We have kids. This is just a little test. This is just a little 4-hour exam. This should not punk anybody out. Let me just say that.
Say it shouldn't punk them, huh?
now listen, let me give you more grace than you've given yourself. I'll say this was in 2013. It was 2013. So I have a mentor and he's a vice president. And I'm at a big company, Fortune 12 company.
Okay.
And so he says, what do you want to do with your career? You know, let's talk about some things. And so I go into the office and I have a couple of degrees at that point in time. But, you know, the situation was, he said, well, if you have aspirations of being a vice president or above or high level leadership at this company, you need to either get a master's degree or a PMP. And I was like, you equating a master's degree to a PMP? And he was like, because it shows that you have the ability to take something from inception to completion, herd the cats, streamline things, and really understand the nuances of making sure that something comes to a close, leading in an essence. And so you kind of talked over it, you know, a little bit and kind of downplayed it. But at that time, when you said you were getting yours, it was equivalent. It is the equivalency, you know, in that regard.
It is. And let me say this. The reason why I did not give up and I actually got the certification mm-hmm. is because during the last recession, I couldn't get a job with my MBA. You know, mm-hmm. I thought I was it, you know, mm-hmm. going in third, fourth, fifth interview. Now, this is back in the olden days when they actually called you or called you in to tell you you didn't get the job. Right. My feelings was so hurt. And what they told me, the feedback they gave me was, yeah, Tamara, you're an SAP super user. You got all these multi-million dollars worth of projects. I mean, they listed everything. They said, however, we have to hire somebody that doesn't even have a bachelor's degree. Meanwhile, I have an MBA, but this person has their PMP. Mm-hmm. I was told that over and over and over.
Wow.
It's time to rethink your protein. Agrilab's protein bars are crafted with high-quality protein, double the leucine, and enriched branched-chain amino acids, essential for optimal muscle recovery. Finally, a protein bar that works as hard as you do. So visit agrilabs.com and use the code BEP to get 20% off. That's agrilabs.com, promo code BEP.
Exactly. So I was like, okay, I'm going to get this piece of paper. The next company I go to, I'm getting this piece of paper. I will never be passed over again. And so that's the significance of the PMP certification. And Chris, I have to say this. I have friends that were told the same thing. If they want to move up to VP or, you know, executive leadership, they have to get the PMP certification. And this includes doctors and pharmacists. I went to the Xavier University, that one of the top schools putting African-Americans into med school and pharmacy school. They're coming to me now saying, now, what do you do again? I know we kicking it and, you know, we're cool and we grew up together. But I was told you have something I need, which is this certification.
Right.
And so it holds a lot of weight. It holds a lot of weight.
Wow. So listen, obviously it opened your eyes. And you're right. It carries a lot. If you have a master's degree and you got denied a job five times, and then they're telling you that we can hire people who don't have a bachelor's, but as long as they got a PMP, that right there is an eye-opening thing. But talk about some of the other challenges that you face, you know, along the way, along the certification process, and more importantly, how did you overcome them? Because I would imagine that wasn't the only thing.
Well, it was the formulas, it was the memorization, but like I said before, PMI, they've done away with things that we really don't do in real life on the exam. And so the exam is really, really, it makes sense. And so I teach the exam. One thing I've done is I take out those case studies that are in the book. We don't do those. I help everybody in my boot camp with the PMP application. That way I know exactly what you do day to day. So for instance, I'll have three or four people from one organization. In fact, I will do a private corporate class. Everybody's still doing something different, whether it's construction, retail, government, within the same organization. And so I have to know what everybody is working on. And those are the examples we use in the boot camp. That way the switch starts to go off immediately in that course. So that's the difference with my boot camp and other boot camps. I don't use the case studies. We use real live examples.
Let me ask you this. What made you decide that this was a need that had to happen from an industry perspective? And I know you felt a void, but what was the thing that led you? Did you have a degree in education, or what made you feel like, you know what, I need to help the people? Like, I realized where I was coming up short, but now I really need to help the people.
So I went to, while I was studying for the PMP certification, PMI Atlanta, and I assume most chapters have a study group, a program. It was 12 weeks. So I have 2 years worth of project management classes failed and then taking a 12-week course through PMI Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Still failed. People mm-hmm. were going failing left and right. Now, mm-hmm. the instructor was good. However, like my tutor said, it wasn't not knowing the information. It was the questions, or it was the study habits. You can't study like you study in undergrad or grad school like this. So there are different nuances that I was able to pick up to help me pass. And so I'm one of those people, if I feel like I can do it better, I need to go do it better. So I volunteered and taught the 12-week class. And this is where you need a partner to kind of, you know. My husband said, I want you to do some basic math, just some basic math. You have 25 people in that group and you meet for 10 or 12 weeks. And back then it was $1,000 per person. I need you to do some basic math and get you an EIN and an LLC and start charging. Right. So that's why what happened.
What's up?
Like, no, I'm helping people. He was like, no, you can help and charge at the same time.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it's funny though, because you were talking about everybody failing the tests.
Yes.
And it wasn't because they didn't know they didn't have the knowledge of the information. It was the questions and the study. It sounds like standardized testing to me. Okay. Because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, the way the test is written, all right, and the way it comes across, that's the reason why people fail, right? And correct. So I would love to hear about that, because you even failed, okay? And then you said twice. So mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about that, because there's probably people who failed and never came back. And they probably thought that they wasn't good enough. And you're here to say that they were, but it was just the way in terms of how the test was conducted and stuff to that nature.
Absolutely. So when I start giving my examples in my course, I use everyday examples. So my favorite one is what I need to do now. I need to order some food from Trader Joe's. And when I go to Trader Joe's, I'm supposed to get food. However, I love their flowers and their plants and their cards and their wines and all this stuff. So what I plan to spend in Trader Joe's versus when I get to the register, I plan to spend $50. I get to the register, it's $100. So I've overspent in one store. If I go to Whole Foods, the same thing. You know, you're going down every aisle and you're just picking up stuff. So you have overspent in two stores. So that third store, Target, you have a decision to make. Do you go to the dollar bin? No. Or do you say, you know what? I deserve this. And do you go in your savings? Do you de-scope, meaning you remove right. some of the items you're getting? You see how we're doing the same thing in our everyday? Because we're on a fixed income just like we have a budget at work. Right. In corporate, all we're doing is adding some zeros and some commas. That's the same thing.
Same shopping habits, right?
Back to your stakeholder, whether it's your partner, your spouse, same thing.
Right.
And I make sure everybody, he said, wow, make sure you get it in layman's terms. You're doing it every day in your corporate. Now just go pass this little test and get this piece of paper, you know.
You know, it reminds me of the TV show, The Wire. One of the episodes was, you know, the kids were out selling drugs and the kid had a math test and he was like, what's 5 times 5? And the kid couldn't explain it. Right. And then he said, man, you know this. Hey, if you got 5 kilos, okay, right, and you took those kilos and you put it, what would it be like? Oh, 25 kilos. He said, exactly.
Right. You meet them where they are. Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So when they do, you know, connect with you and when you got it taken care of, what were some of the things that you saw opening up from a career perspective because of having those letters attached to your resume?
Ooh, that's the good part. So when I say I have not really applied for a job since I got my PMP certification, that means it's on my LinkedIn, on my resume, and companies seek me. So that's the beauty. And what I did not understand, I have quite a few friends that are in HR. I'm a passive candidate. I'm not active. And so my negotiating power is different. And just having that confidence, as my mentor used to say, that PMP pimp swag, he used to call me big old pimp, because of the letters behind my name. And you do have, more confidence.
Right,
Then you're going to get the $50,000, $60,000 raises. Imagine when you continuously get those raises, you can go across the business lines within an organization. When I say the doors just open up, you can change industries. I've been in legal, healthcare, airline, federal government after the PMP. With this certification, you can do anything.
Wow. That is, so let's just be clear here. And it's funny. It's like, again, I'm just sitting here thinking about some of the things you just got finished saying. So you say when you have the PMP behind your name, all right, that gives you confidence. So it's no different like having doctor or something of that nature, right? And that's something you carry, or Heisman Trophy candidate, right? Mm-hmm. It's something that you carry to your grave, right? And even beyond the grave, right? And then you said a little bit about how it opened doors for you. And then the salaries in terms of raises, 50, 60K bumps. And you kept getting those continuously, right? So let me throw this at you. Like, what industries where the PMP is essential? Okay, because I know you came on earlier and said everybody should get in, you can go across all things, but there are certain industries where it's probably more apropos, you definitely need it, versus others where you probably could skate through. Talk a little bit about that.
So you have to have it in technology. And I see this every day. People are sitting at their desk miserable. They are inboxing me. They don't have it and they feel stuck. You're stuck because you don't have the tools to go to the next level. And so technology, you have to have it. The federal government, you know, when I was working for the federal government, you had to have it. You definitely need it now. Construction industries like that. But I will say healthcare as well. Healthcare, IT healthcare, you have to have it. I'm getting a lot of people in education. They, with the budgets from the school districts, the projects that are flops from the school buses. And here in Georgia, the project with the clear backpacks, just epic fail. I can go on and on. So I'm going to say every industry, but those are the top industries. I mean, I'm just being real. And the reason why I'm saying that is because I speak to so many people. I speak at conferences. I speak to so many people. And they're like, Tamara, all of a sudden it's required. Where you saw the writing on the wall because it was preferred, suggested, voluntold. Now it's required.
Okay. Yeah. I totally get it, right? You know, obviously... And you just said it earlier, you know, 24 years ago, it might have been a little bit different, right? Now, because of technology, and not just technology in the tech industry, but technology in all industries now, right? Yes. So, you know, now you got AI coming out, right? It was not coming out. That's here. So it kind of, so I definitely can see that. Let me ask you this, though, like in terms of, you know, what's some of the prerequisites? Because can you just walk off the street and or, you know, get, you know, I'm making shakes at McDonald's and I can go in and get a PMP. Is there certain qualifications? Talk a little bit about that.
So the qualifications, if you have a degree, you need 3 years. Most people car notes are more than 3 years. I got a car in my name for my niece. I did the drop down. I'm like, am I getting a house or a car? Like, so literally most people's car notes are more than 3 years. People have 3 years of experience. And I promise to your audience, we did not rehearse this. Tony, literally I have a guy, and matter of fact, quite a few people on this contract. It's a federal government contract. He worked in a restaurant. We used his restaurant experience, 2 years of restaurant experience and 1 year of tech. And the restaurant projects we used was creating a new menu. That was a project. You have the data, people aren't buying, and you're redoing the menu. And it's a success. You just said, wow, absolutely. The second project we used was the flow of the restaurant. Just moving the tables, the chairs, the where you check out, just the whole flow. That was another project. So 2 years of that and then 1 year tech. He is now a supervisor. He's only had his PMP 2 years.
So just so I'm clear, hold on, Chris, I'll let you jump in, but just so I'm clear, what you're saying, 3 years of work qualifications of where you are. Is that what I'm hearing?
Correct. But you do have to identify the projects, and a project has a beginning and an end, unique product or service. There's a misconception that you have to have managed the whole project, which is not true. You had to have managed the budget inaccurate. You had, like, there's so much bad information. Like I said, he worked in a restaurant. I don't know how simplistic we can get from that.
Right.
Young lady, she was only out of school for 2 years and her application got denied. And actually she's on a podcast where she talks about this. And I was like, a denial. Now, wait just a minute. I can get, you know, I can get approval from an audit, but a denial? Ugh. So I said, well, reading is fundamental. Send me what PMI sent you. gentlemen, it never said you had to have been paid for the project. It never said that. We just assumed that. I asked her, what did she do in undergrad if she was Greek? She said she's an AK. I said, Grandma AK, you did a project. She revitalized a park. Home Depot donated the equipment. It was published in the paper. So we used that project and 2 years of work experience. She works for a major corporation now as a program manager. And we were able to get that reversal.
It's interesting. I just did something at my job on program management. And so that's a whole nother, genre. But what is interesting to me that it appeared in the beginning that the PMP was for leaders and executives. And now I'm seeing that management is obviously on the table. But as you speak more and more, I'm realizing sometimes it's a good idea to preemptively, if you have aspirations,
you have
to become in those roles. So basically, it's for anybody that has aspirations to be more or to get elevated in their career. It's not just once you get there right? You go.
Because these are the tools to get you there. And let me say this, we haven't touched on this. A lot of people think it's the hard skills. It's the power skills as well. Stakeholder management, communication. When we say stakeholders, we're not talking about just executives. We're talking about your customers. We're talking about your customers' customers. We're talking about the public, teachers, the PTA, who's ever involved in your project. A lot of important things that tech people sometimes miss. Because we're always thinking the hard skills. You got to bring those soft skills. So the new exam is 42% on people. Exactly. That's a large chunk.
It is. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Almost half.
Absolutely. Let me ask you this. Have you experienced that companies are willing to sponsor this as part of their tuition reimbursement dynamics or whatever? Because I know when I was at a company, at a telecom company, Verizon, they sponsored me to get Six Sigma certified, yes. From Villanova. And it was a big deal, and it was a good investment for them. Obviously, it paid off. But are you seeing that companies are more willing to say, hey, if you have individual development priorities or propositions, we can then assist you? And this falls under that umbrella?
Absolutely. And you just named the company that does one of the most sponsorships in my bootcamp, Verizon.
That's what's up.
They sponsor a lot of project managers, but most companies do. Most companies pay up front. Some will reimburse you. But think about this. If they're not going to invest in you, shouldn't you be side-eyeing them anyway?
I'm just
saying. You should say, you're not going to spend this little bit of money to help me help you? Oh, okay, gotcha. You should go ahead and get it in deuces. And I don't tell people that, but they do because they feel some kind of way about an organization that is not going to support their professional development.
So can you just back up when you say they should get it in deuces, just so everybody's clear? Like, what do you mean?
Like you should, the writing is always on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
So companies are laying off left and right. I coach a lot of women, and a lot of women at the end of this year, we're recording this in October. So it's the end of the year. Companies are still laying off. A lot of them are offered packages and they're trying to determine if they should take the package or stay. They have done rounds of layoffs. They're not done. So they won't sponsor you professionally. They're still laying off. Travel is stopping. They're getting funny with this. You just should not sit there being a sitting duck. If in this day and age, you cannot be surprised if you get laid off. There's just no such thing. And that's what I mean by you should take your professional development in your hands and do what you have to do, because the organization is going to do what they have to do.
Always. Absolutely. Always. Always.
Always.
I tell people that I mentor, always invest in those who invest in you. And that's emotionally, that's professionally things. It's kind of like the buy those that buy, buy us kind of deal.
Absolutely.
And so with that being said, is there a way to approach that when you're at your, so obviously we're coming into the end of the year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the beginning of the year, we write down our goals. Most companies, I'm not sure how it is. I've worked for some different kind of companies, some bigger companies, but most companies, I believe, write down their goals for the year. Is it seasonal as far as you see an uptick in your people that apply to your boot camp, or is it a slow time of year? Like, how does that generally work out for you?
You know what? I would say it's more the slow time of their year, because let's use Verizon. I didn't realize last year, like, girl, it's the end of the year. We're in retail. I think of them as a telecom company, but they think of themselves as retail with the phones, especially the new iPhone came out last year. So it does depend on when they don't have a ton of work going on. But I will say a lot of people that I coach, they want to be proactive. That's just who I attract. They want to be proactive of their career. They want to go, even if it's sideways, everybody doesn't want to go up. I was one of those very few people that was mentored to move up in an organization, and I didn't want to. I wanted to manage bigger portfolios and projects. I didn't want to go to the C-suite. And so whatever you want to do, you still need those skills in project management.
Okay. So based on that, you know, let's back up to where you began, right? Well, not began, but as we got into the show, you know, a lot of people were failing. You failed a couple times, learned the game, then you created the game, right? You have your own business, you're teaching people, you have a boot camp, stuff of that nature. You're saying, hey, this is not just for one industry, it's good across all industries. More importantly, if you take this, you got to invest in you, you get this certification, you're going to have a lot more confidence in yourself. Opportunities will flow, raises or salaries, or even if you want to start your own, like you did, like, you know, Tamara McAmore Enterprises, right? In terms of being able to train people and stuff to that nature. So talk to people. If I'm sitting here and I'm listening like, and you saying that it's like going to Costco and you know, you break it down, or it's like me, all I gotta do is build a, I'm just making this up, but build a menu and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I'm thinking, okay, maybe I should go and check this out. Talk a little bit about the study habits, right? What's some of the study techniques and tips? And I get it that you charge for these things, right? So you can keep it to a nil, but talk about some of the things that people need to prepare themselves when they get ready to go and take this test.
No, I'm glad we're talking about this, because there's a misconception that I need all this time. But emotional intelligence tells us as adults, we're adulting and we got a lot of things going on. We have, you know, generations in our house, extended family. We have a lot going on. And so we don't have 4 or 5 hours in the evening to study. Even if we did, our mental capacity
is only going
to
hold so much.
It is only going to hold so much. Right before this call, my husband was like, what are we eating for dinner? Can you cook? I'm like, people are thinking about, what are we going to eat for dinner?
Right.
So you have a good 30, 45 minutes of quality time. So I have people break it down and we do a whole session on how to study. And it is quality, not quantity, quality study. I make people get out the house and study. My winter boot camps, I'm laughing at myself because one boot camp, I couldn't figure out what was going on. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I said, everybody stand up. And they're looking at me like I'm crazy. And I'm like, stand up. Everybody's blanket fell. I said, that's what I thought. Everybody had a blanket in their lap. I'm like, you're too comfortable.
If you like what you hear and want to join us on this journey of making uncomfortable conversations comfortable, please subscribe to a Black Executive Perspective podcast on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hit subscribe now to stay connected for more episodes that challenge, inspire, and lead the change.
So you cannot be comfortable in this. You have to go to Starbucks, go to Barnes & Noble, get out your house, especially if you work from home. 30-40 minutes in the morning. You know, so the study habits, it really depends on the individual and the household, but they're not like we did in our MBA program. We cannot cram and get this. We have to study a little bit, digest it, implement it the next day at work. We need to say, slow this project down. We need to gather requirements. We forgot a key stakeholder. You need to start raising your hand more in meetings. That's how the information gets sticky in my bootcamp.
Right.
From an optimal perspective, are you designing things that are more group oriented? Are you individualistic? Is it depending on the person? How do you like to approach it? And what's the maximum group you would hold as far as the minimum? Is it in slots or stages throughout the year? Like, help me understand, because I'm visualizing now, you know, being a drill sergeant on these folks. And I don't know how many people you tell them what to do.
So this is funny. So it just morphed in. Of course, the boot camp started small. My biggest ones have been 25 people. And I was like, whoa. When they were registering, we were literally trying to take it off the website. And we did not know how to take it down. But guess what? That whole boot camp passed.
Okay.
And within like 30 days, maybe a couple within 45 days, but everybody passed. And here's the thing, I didn't understand at that time, which I get now, my community. So you have people, we had tech people, we had people in banking, we had somebody work for Victoria's Secret, we had somebody in every city, every industry, and they could feed off each other. So the community that my cohorts bring is like no other. They still do meetups. They get promotions. They do referrals for each other. So the groups can be large, and it's the community. At the same time, they still have me. So after the boot camp, it's the post follow-up for me. They're sending me their exams, and I can see what they need to increase. And gentlemen, a lot of times they're like, what should I study? And you would never guess what my recommendation for them would be. I like to get on the Zoom so I can see them. And most people, 8 out of 10 people, I'm like, girl, you need to go sit down and take a nap. You need to get something good to eat and take a nap. And they're like, are you serious? I need to know, do I study agile or do I study quality? I'm like, go to sleep. Right. So I need to, rest. And so that's the individual part of it. I get to understand, what do you need, Chris, to be successful? And a lot of times it is not more study. It is not.
In your experience and how you set this up, because you talked about agile and, I've done waterfall and scrum and all these other things in my career. But where do you see the industry going as far as, because now we've moved from you don't like Microsoft Project, and I respect that, but people have moved to Asana and other, platforms, to manage projects. Do you see the technology keeping up with things? And so therefore people have to go back. What is the recertification dynamic, I guess, is my question for you.
So the recertification is really easy. I have never paid for a PDU. People try to beg me, Tim, can you have a class so I can get my PDUs in one sitting? I'm like,
explain PDU. I'm sorry. Give me
it's your credits for the next 3 years to keep
certification
up. I have never paid for a PDU. So why would I charge somebody? So those classes that we take at the beginning of the year at our organizations, they count. When you volunteer for industry day, PMI events, lean, quality, everybody industry goes into project management. You get credit for that. You get credit for just working. And so it is really easy to get your professional development units. Hopefully I answered your question. It was
absolutely
jam-packed, but hopefully I answered your question.
No, that was good. No, I was just saying, you keeping up with what's going on, because things do evolve. And you talked about, hey, you did this a long time ago, and now they've got different systems. You were talking about SAP and all this other stuff that you were involved in. And I just want to make sure, because the one thing that I've come into contact with is people who say, well, I made a choice to do this educationally, and so it's hamstrung me to stay in that lane. And what you're telling us now is, even though I have a master black belt and I got this certification, that or whatever, this doesn't hurt that. This actually augments or helps that.
Woo, that was a whole word. So let me say this.
Okay.
People in healthcare, my people that come from healthcare, most of them have their black belt, green belt, and Lean Six Sigma. When they get this, it just takes their stock even higher, because Lean is a part of project management, the waterfall, and it's definitely a part of Agile, which is part of this new curriculum. So when they have that, so you have to get new tools in your tool belt, you have to sharpen your tools. So anybody, we refresh our closets, we get new hairstyles, but education, professional development, you're just going to rely on something you got 5-10 years ago. Make it make sense.
That is so true, my girl. You hit. Final thoughts, my friend. What do you want to share and leave with our audience? I thought, just coming in here, providing this type of, education, especially what you just got finished saying, is key. So final thoughts.
My final thoughts is, everybody's a project manager. They are, Chris, you're laughing. Everybody's a project manager. Now, we have different levels on this, but everybody is a project manager in my eyes. And I work with a lot of engineers. I work with executive admins. I've spoken at their conference. Guess what? Executive admins, they're project managers and they're getting certified. So from the C-suite, executive admins, everybody's a project manager. I want to leave everybody with this. If you have a question, do not rely on these internet streets. On my website at iwantmypnp.com, I have free consultation. I have a free quiz. Just come talk to me.
Good business. Good business. So let me ask you this, with that involved, how can Black Executive Perspective Podcast further help you in your endeavors in reaching the people, since you obviously are a servant of the
community? No question.
Well, you're already doing it. You have me on your show, and hopefully your followers will say, I think I'm a project manager. If they think they are, that means you are.
Well, look, you just told them they are.
Right, absolutely. You made everybody. You said you was Oprah. You get a project manager. Exactly. You're a project manager.
You already told them what time it is, right?
That is my favorite meme. Let me say, even my team, my admin, my program manager, my whole team, they got their PMP. Once they start, doing the syllabus and getting involved, they were like, wait a minute, I should get this. And they both got PMP certified within 2 or 3 weeks. Everybody's a project manager.
That is awesome. So tell the audience where they can find you, your website. If they're interested in learning more, why don't you drop that type of knowledge on them?
So you can go to iwantmypnp.com. How simpler can I get? iwantmypnp.com. Definitely follow me on LinkedIn at Tamara McLemore. I give a lot of tips. I have your podcast will be on there, conferences that I'm speaking at, other certifications, my community. Woo, the community, the algorithm of LinkedIn. People sleep on LinkedIn. It is something. It is something. So that's what I want to leave everyone with.
That is awesome. I love it. I love the energy that you bring. You know, it's funny. You said your website is I Want My PMP, right? Again, it reminds me of, I forget the group that made the song. I Want My MTV. I don't know if you guys remember that song, right? Mm-hmm. Right. Right. So you should put some tunes behind it, my friend. All right. You got a nice little slogan. But look, Tamara McLemore, we want to thank you for coming to a Black Executive Perspective podcast, sharing this wonderful knowledge, right, that can educate, more importantly, elevate everyone, right? And the key is your ability and being open to helping these individuals as well. So we want to thank you for coming to a Black Executive Perspective podcast and sharing the knowledge, our sister.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, that's it. Yeah, you said, thank you for having me. That's good. We appreciate it. We love you. Stay right there. So I think it's now time for
Tony's Tidbit.
All right, so the tidbit today, and Tamara spoke about it, the tidbit today is the path to success is paved with continuous learning. Embrace each challenge as an opportunity to grow and advance. And you heard a lot of that from Tamara McLemore.
Absolutely. And so at this time, we'd also like to remind you, we'd be remiss if we did not remind you to tune in to a Black Executive Perspective podcast segment, Need to Know, with Dr. Nasinga Burton. This is a segment where Dr. Burton brings timely and insightful, passionate topics to the stage in a short, condensed kind of format, but it's wonderful. It's very insightful. She's multi-hyphenated. It's been doing, she's like you, been all over the world and done some of everything. But definitely tune in to her and make sure that you support. And you definitely don't want to miss Dr. Nasinga Burton in Need to Know.
You ain't lying. And you're right. Tamara is like Dr. Burton. So that's awesome, right? So I hope you enjoyed today's episode, The Power of PMP, How Certification Can Elevate Your Career.
And we just also always like to remind the audience and everyone that we like to diminish, inequality and racial separation and things wherever we can. And we do that with our motto, our call to action, and it's less, L-E-S-S. And the L there stands for learn. Educate yourself on racial and cultural nuances to get better and be a better citizen and support your community better.
Absolutely. And after you learn, the next letter is E, which stands for empathy. Now, since you've learned, you should now have a better understanding of diverse perspectives, what your brother and sister and friend and colleague go through.
And our guest today epitomized the first S, that is share. Once she got to where she needed to go, she felt the desire to share that with others. So you should always share your insights and enlighten others to make them better. So therefore, each of you can get better collectively.
Absolutely. And then the final S is stop. We want to stop discrimination wherever it goes. So if grandpa says something at the Thanksgiving table that's inappropriate, you say, "Grandpa, we don't believe that. We don't say that." And you stop it right there. So if everyone can incorporate less, L-E-S-S, we'll build a more fair, more understanding world. And guess what? We'll all be able to see the change that we want to see, because less will become more.
Just like this episode, we have plenty of exciting episodes out there. So make sure you go and support and view those. But absolutely go to the website, sign up for the newsletter, leave us reviews, and make sure that you subscribe on all the platforms that you listen to podcasts or watch podcasts on. So therefore, we can get better and reach you where you'd like to be. And Tony, where can they find us?
Buddy, they can find a Black Executive Perspective podcast on all the social channels, from X, YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, TikTok, at A Black Exec. For our fabulous, high energy, educated lady, Tamara McElmore, PMP. Definitely got to say that, right? For our co-host with the most, Chris P. Reed, I'm Tony Tidbit. We talked about it. Guess what? We learned about it today. We love you, and we're out.
A Black Executive Perspective.